However, one of the predictions they did make is the use of video calls, which are commonplace. People regularly use Skype and FaceTime to name but two. I've also heard of people getting interviewed for jobs on Skype, although I've never heard of anyone being fired, so that's a bit extreme. However, I have heard of people being fired via email and text message, so maybe it's preferable to that. So basically that leads us to the topic tonight, which is the techno-driven life. And it's really, the topic's going to be, how do we as Christians respond to this techno-driven life where there's such proliferation of technology such as the internet, social media, use of telecommunications, text, email, etc. So how do we respond to something that's just so prevalent in our culture? I should probably start by telling you from the off that I'm a little bit of an anomaly for my generation in that I am not on social media. Okay, I don't do it, and I'm quite negative about it. In fact, the reason I'm doing this talk tonight is because I was having a bit of a rant about social media to John on a road trip. So that's a warning that if you ever speak to John, he might end up getting you to preach on that topic. Nonetheless, I've been praying and thinking through this topic, and I've tried to be as fair and as objective as possible, because social media, internet, technology like that is here to stay. There's no point denying that. It's going to be with us. So we have to learn, how can we live with that as Christians? I want to make a couple of observations before I sort of get into the main body of the talk, which is, first of all, the Bible doesn't have anything specific to say about the use of technology such as internet, FaceTime, social media, etc. Okay, it's got lots to say on things like sex and money, but it doesn't say a single thing about the internet. Well, that's not that surprising, because the internet didn't exist 2,000 years ago. However, the Bible does have a lot to say on things like God, on human beings, on relationships, and on sin. So we can apply a lot of the teaching that the Bible gives us on these topics to our use of social media, internet, etc. Secondly, second observation I want to make is that social media is basically, it's morally neutral. It's not good, it's not bad. The issue is how we use it. So that's going to be the focus of this evening. So to help us to do that this evening, the key text that I've chosen is from Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this passage contains the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so this basically is to be the two-point test that we should apply to our use of technology such as social media and the internet. Is it helping us to love God more? Is it helping us to love others more? Conversely, is it pulling us away from God? Is it pulling us away from others? So there's three points that we're going to look at tonight, which is love-building use, using technology in a way that can build love, our relationship with God, our relationship with others. We're going to look at love-breaking use, ways in which technology can actually damage our relationship with God and damage our relationship with others. And finally, love-saving use. How can we save this love? How can we protect ourselves from these technologies? First of all, then, is love-building use. Now, the internet and social media can have a really, really positive impact on our relationship with God. It can have a really positive impact on our relationship with others. And there's loads of fantastic resources on the internet that we can use. There's apps and all sorts. And I'm going to refer to some of them later. And there's a fantastic one that Nikki was talking about as well, which is starting tomorrow, so that's very appropriate. But there's three specific areas in which we can build love through this technology. And the first is communication. Technology opens up the possibility of communication to a much wider audience, and it enables more frequent and indeed immediate communication. an example, I go to Destiny Church, and Destiny Church is part of a wider network. It's in over 10 countries. It's constantly planting in new countries. In, for example, in Odisha in India, there's over 300 churches that are part of the Destiny network. Every Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, we come together as a network and have a service which is streamed on the internet so that as a whole network across all the different countries, all the different churches, we can come together. So it's fantastic for communication and bringing people together and giving people a shared message and shared vision. On a personal level, Lucy and I, that's my wife, just before our wee daughter Holly arrived, my parents who live in Manchester decided to buy us an iPad as a gift so that we could send them photos and videos of Holly. And also we use FaceTime and regularly have conversations, which is it's really special for her grandparents to see her develop and grow. And also it means that Holly actually recognises her Manchester grandparents through FaceTime. So it's a fantastic thing that we can do through this technology. Secondly is community. We can build love through community online. Social media enables us to grow community between Christians and also for Christians to flourish even in the face of persecution. There was a really good story that emerged in the summer basically from Iraq following the persecution on the Christians in northern Iraq by ISIS. What ISIS was doing is they would basically make an ultimatum to Christians that they were either to convert to Islam or be fined £50,000 or face the death penalty. And to identify a Christian household, the ISIS were painting the Arabic letter N onto the household, which is short for Nasrani, which is the Arabic word for Christian. And as a response to this, Christians in Iraq and beyond basically uploaded the Arabic letter N onto their profile as a way of support for the Christians that are being persecuted, but also to really raise awareness of the matter. So through social media, through this kind of technology, we can actually build community. The third way we can build love through social media and internet is through discipleship. Technology can open up a hotline of discipleship across generations, across locations, and across time zones. And it's a real fulfillment of this instruction in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So technology can be really helpful for making sure that we meet together and encourage one another to continue in this journey. It's also especially helpful for people who might be away from home through work or maybe through other commitments, like missionaries. Like Lucy and I were actually missionaries in Paraguay for 6 months with South American Missionary Society. And once a week, we come together for a home group, and a SAMS representative would send through a Bible study that we would do. And that was a real encouragement and real support for us in that week. And it also gave us a real connection to the wider organisation back home. So we can build love through discipleship, through technology. So I'm leading on then. I've looked at love building use, but what about love breaking use? This kind of technology like social media and internet can be very dangerous and can have a really negative impact. So ask yourself this question then. Do you seek to glorify God through social media? Do you seek to glorify God through social media? Consider this passage in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do you seek to glorify God through social media? Or is social media actually hindering your relationship with God? Be honest with yourself. Does social media, does the internet, does it lead you into sin? Social media can easily lead you into a world of gossip, of slander, of bad influences, of sinful relationships, of sexual sin, of addiction. It says in Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If technology or a certain aspect of it, a certain website perhaps, is causing you to fall into sin, then you need to remove that out of your life. Another point in terms of love breaking use is, do you spend more time connecting with people online than you do in real life? We've looked at how technology can be a really helpful tool that can enhance our relationship and help us to grow community. But are you actually focusing more on virtual relationships than real relationships? Now, some of you might know I'm a big Manchester United fan, and one of my all-time favourite players is Ryan Giggs, and he's just retired in the summer, but he has basically been playing for United for over 20 years, and he has seen some massive differences over that time. And one of the things he was asked about, you know, what's been some of the differences you've seen from when you started playing in the early 90s to when you retired in 2014. And he's actually talked about the impact that social media has had on team dynamics and team relationships. He said after a match, when he started playing, the team would come on the coach after the game on the way home, and they'd sit down together and they would discuss the game, and they would talk about what went well, what went poorly, who did what, how they could improve it next time. And sometimes it got a little bit heated and there were arguments and tempers flared, but it was really good for building team and, you know, building that relationship. Now, at the end of a game, when players get onto the coach, they don't sit around and talk about the game and how it went. Everyone gets their earphones in, they get their phones out, they're tweeting, they're sending photos to Instagram, and that sense of team has gone, it's become individual. So I think that's quite a worrying development that Ryan Giggs has identified. I'm sure we've all been there as well, when you've been in a restaurant or a cafe and you see that table where the people are sat around and they're not talking to each other, but they've got their phones out and they're busy on their phone, but they're not actually connecting with each other. So are you spending more time connecting with virtual people than real people? Another thing to consider in terms of love breaking use is, do you have any relationships that you should cut off? It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And one of the issues with social media is that it's far too easy to connect with people that you shouldn't be connecting with. A worrying trend is the number of divorces and relationships that have ended as a result of people reconnecting with an old flame. Someone that relationship's ended, it should have stayed in the past. Social media can also be used for gossip, for bullying, for abuse, and for threats. As some of you might know, I'm a police officer, and I started in the police in 2007, just over 7 years ago. And this is a massive growth area of criminality. When I started in 2007, it was unheard of for someone to report a crime of them being abused or threatened on Facebook. Now, it's a daily occurrence. And it's not just a daily occurrence in Edinburgh, it's a daily occurrence in every locale, all over Edinburgh, and all over and beyond. It's a massive growth area of criminality. There's a huge amount of people that are being abused and threatened. Simple solution, whether you're the abuser, whether you're being abused, is to block contact with that person. There's certain relationships we cut up with that we need to cut off, and we need to free ourselves from. If you are being abused, if you're abusing someone, it's very simple. Block that person from your social media site. Delete their profile if need be. The fourth aspect in terms of love-breaking use is, do you use your technology to boost your ego and to make yourself feel good? One of the lies of social media is that it tells you that you only have value as a person if you have lots of friends, or if you have lots of likes or lots of followers that are following your tweets. I recently read an interview with a nightclub owner, and they were asking about change of culture over the past 10 years. And he said, well, 10 years ago, which is kind of my generation, when I was at university about 10 years ago, when I used to go out to the occasional nightclub, people would basically go out in a group They'd sit around, have a chat, have a laugh, and then maybe a dance, which is kind of what I remember it as being like. Now, when folk go out on a night out, they're all standing about with their phones out, taking photos of themselves, taking photos of each other, uploading it on Facebook, and it's all on social media. This basically is the rise of the cult of self, trying to make yourself into a minor celebrity, get as many likes or followers as possible. If your mood or your self-esteem is reliant upon the approval of others on social media, then that's something that you need to be very careful of. Consider these words of Jesus in Mark 8:36, when he was warning the disciples of his future death. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Our true value comes from knowing that God loves us. God loves us despite our faults and despite our weaknesses. You're never going to be satisfied by trying to get the approval of others. And we've already got the love of God, which is all we need. So finally, they're moving on to love saving use. We've looked at love building use, how we can build relationships with God, build relationships with others. We've looked at how we can damage our relationship with God and damage our relationship with others. So love saving use, how can we protect, how can we redeem our use of technology like social media? If you remember the two-point test, which is to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two-point test that we should be applying to our use of social media. So you need to examine yourself and be honest with yourself. Is your use, is it pulling you closer to God? Is it pulling you closer to others? Or is it actually pulling you away from God and away from others? So there's two practical steps that I'm going to recommend. The first one is get accountable. Okay? Whether you're in a small group or a prayer group, whether you've got a Christian friend or a family member, confide in them and just be honest about how you use technology. Be honest about how you use social media, how you use the internet. If you're meeting as a group or if you meet one-to-one with someone, put technology as a discussion point on your agenda. Ask each other directly, what websites are you visiting? What social media sites do you use? Challenge each other. Are you connecting with people that you shouldn't be? Have you connected with an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend? Or maybe have you connected with someone that got you into an area, somewhere, an aspect of your life that you moved away from? In fact, another option you've got is why don't you create an online forum of Christians? Be it Facebook, we've heard about the Celtic prayer and verse. Why don't you connect online with other Christians and create an online forum where you can see who each other's friends are and you can see what posts you're putting online? And my second advice is visit Christian sites. Some of you might be thinking this evening, like me, you're not on social media, so this isn't really relevant for you. Well, who here uses Google? Most people use Google. Well, what do you do on Google? What do you search? Are you like me? Do you search football? Or are you a news addict? Do you like to see what's going on in the news? Do you like to go on YouTube and look at videos? Do you go out and do your online shopping? Do you look for your dream house? Do you look for your dream holiday? What do you do when you go online? So my challenge for you, once you turn your phone back on at the end of the service or tomorrow morning, depending on how bold you're going to be, my challenge after that is for the next 7 days, for the next week, whenever you are going to go on your social media site or whenever you're going to go on Google, first of all, visit a Christian site. Go to somewhere that is going to build you up spiritually. Now, you probably know lots of really good sites, and I'm open to suggestions. You can talk about that afterwards, but I'm going to recommend a few, and then if you have others, by all means, use them. So the first one that should be coming up is BibleGateway.com. It's a brilliant site. Basically, it's the Bible. So that's a pretty good place to start. But it's the Bible in lots of different translations. It's really good for comparing different passages. And for some of the younger folk here, do you know what a Bible concordance is? Some of the older ones of us, before Bible Gateway came along, we had to use Bible concordances. If you were thinking to yourself, now where's that passage where it says pray continually? You can go to Bible Gateway, type it in, and it'll find the passage for you. That's what a concordance basically does for you. So BibleGateway.com, that's one site. Another site is UCB.com. It's actually .co.uk, which is United Christian Broadcast, Christian Radio. And a specific page on there, if you type into Google, UCB Word for Today, every day there's a new verse uploaded with a reflection, which can be challenging or inspiring. So that's a good place. If that's the only place you go to, I'd recommend that. You just go to that and you'll see the verse, and then there's a daily reflection. Next site that's come up is desiringgod.org, which is a brilliant site. I visit this regularly. There's a blog uploaded daily. There's labs on there, which are basically short videos that can be used to lead a Bible or a group Bible study. And there's literally thousands of sermons on there. Some of you may have heard of John Piper. Basically, it's the website connected to his church in America. And there's every sermon that John Piper has preached since the early 1980s on there, and Bible notes and sermon notes to go with it. So it's a fantastic resource. Another site is gtygracetoyou.org, which again, similar to Desiring God, there's blogs, sermons and radios. That's another website. esword.net, this is recommended by Destiny Church, but it is basically software that you can download onto your computer that can assist you with Bible study. Another one, preceptaustin.org, which is quite a clunky looking website. It doesn't look very, doesn't have many thrills, but it basically offers you commentaries for all of the Bible, for the more studious, and if John ever asks you to preach as well, it's quite a useful one for that. And the last one I'm going to mention, there's loads more, so it's not an exhaustive list, is covenanteyes.com, which is, it's basically software you download. It does actually cost to use it, but it's a site I'd recommend if you have issues with certain areas of the internet. If you're going on sites you shouldn't go on, specifically related to pornography, it basically monitors your use of the internet and sends any suspicious sites you visited to someone that you've chosen to be a mentor. So it's a really good site to use, just to really help you if you are straying into areas that you shouldn't be on the internet. So feel free to share other sites that you can recommend afterwards as well, because I'm sure there's other good ones out there, and definitely connect with Facebook and the link that Nikki was talking about as well, because that's going to be going on for the next year. So that would really be an excellent site to get into. Okay, so I'm going to close in prayer in a few minutes, but first of all, I just think it would be good just to get into groups of three or four and just pray about some of these issues that have come up. So I want you to pray that God will inspire you through technology, that you will learn more about him, that you can connect more deeply with him, and that you can connect more deeply with others, building community, and friendship, and family. So why don't you get into small groups and just pray over this for a couple of minutes, and then I'll close in prayer. Well, folks, just continue your discussions and prayers, but I'll just close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of relationship. We thank you that you're not a God who's distant and separated from us, but you're a God that we can approach a God that we can call Father. You're a God of love. You love us so much and you just want us to love you back. Lord, help us to grow in that love, to develop and to mature in that love. Help all aspects of all our lives, all our desires to grow out of our love for you. Lord, help us to use technology as a stimulant, Lord, as a catalyst that can really inspire us to grow in your love. Similarly, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, help us to use technology to grow community, to grow family. Help us to use technology for good and not for bad. Lord, if we have any weaknesses or any secret areas that are causing us to sin, Lord, help reveal them to us and help us to cut them out of our lives. And Lord, as we look to the coming week, may we learn more about you through technology. May we fall further in love with you through technology. Lord, help us. May we just totally immerse ourselves in you in this coming week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think the band are going to come up and...